Welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And wow, what a week it was in Florida politics. Gosh, so much to talk about this hour. Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum shocked the political world, Tom, of course, and energized progressives from around the country Tuesday night when he came from behind in the most dramatic fashion to defeat former Congresswoman Gwen Graham in their Democratic primary race for governor. In the fall, Gillum will face off against Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis, a Trump admirer who won his race easily against Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam. DeSantis kicked off the general election campaign this week, meantime, with a firestorm over his comment that voters shouldn't monkey this up, in his words, by voting for Gillum.
Yeah, you couldn't really draw a sharper contrast between two gubernatorial candidates. It is deep blue and deep red here in this purple state of Florida. Gillum is a self-described progressive Democrat. He's referred to himself like that. If elected, he would be Florida's first black governor. DeSantis, meantime, is a member of the Conservative Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives, campaigned heavily from his endorsement from Donald Trump. The president came to Tampa Bay area, in fact, during the Republican primary to campaign for DeSantis. On every issue here, Melissa, from jobs to the economy, guns, the school environment, the environment for that matter, water policy, all of it, very radically different visions for the future of Florida from these two candidates.
So which vision will the voters choose? That's the question, of course. This is nothing less than an epic clash of conservative and liberal ideas in the race for governor. You've got a Bernie Sanders-backed mayor in Tallahassee battling against a Trump-endorsed congressman from south of Jacksonville in a high-stakes contest that has really captured the nation's attention. Joining us now with their thoughts on all of this, we welcome Diane Roberts, author, professor, columnist at Flamingo Magazine, and NPR contributor. And also joining us, Republican strategist Rick Wilson, author of the New York Times bestseller, Everything Trump Touches Dies. And we want your calls, too, at 305-995-1800 here on the Florida Roundup. Diane and Rick, good to be with you both. Diane, let's begin with you. As someone who, actually, both of you are based in Tallahassee, but Diane, let's begin with you. Andrew Gillum coming out of Tallahassee to take the primary on the Democratic side certainly has electrified the capital city, was unexpected by most. And so to what do you attribute Gillum's victory in this primary? It really was something that took most political watchers by surprise.
Well, it took me by surprise. I can tell you it's not what I thought would happen. But apparently there were some smart people and some smart polls that saw it coming. I wasn't one of those smart people. But I think the reason he won, and I'll bet Rick Wilson knows better than I about this, is that young people voted. Still not enough young people voted, but they voted. Apparently, the precincts around FSU and Florida A&M were, the turnout was up by a factor of five. They were Gillum voters. African Americans were energized. A lot of people were energized in places where I wouldn't have thought they'd ever heard of Andrew Gillum, but apparently he was really good at going around and getting his vote out and getting people to hear him. And he got those voters, I guess, that pollsters don't get. He got those voters that just don't get asked who they're going to vote for. And that's why a lot of us were taken aback.
Widening the electoral pool, Rick Wilson, Gillum really ran up numbers in South Florida, in Duval County, Jacksonville. He didn't win the majority of counties in the state. But the big urban counties, he won those big, and that seems to have really made the difference.
Sure. Thanks for having me on again, Melissa, and hi, Diane.
Hi, Rick.
I'm coming to you today, by the way, from the miracle of in-flight Wi-Fi, so if I lose you, I will try to be back with you shortly.
Wow. I was commenting to Tom, that is the most Rick Wilson thing ever. So it's good to have you.
That's this stylish.
here's my perspective on it, that, you know, from the mechanical perspective. A lot of outside groups rolled in for Andrew Gillum from Tom Steyer's groups and Bloomberg and others, and they spent an awful lot of money in the last month of this campaign to activate African-American voters. And it worked. They replicated a lot of what helped Barack Obama in 2008 in the Democratic primaries, and then Barack Obama in 2008 in the general election, which was to get African-American turnout for him up into the 80% range. And they were delighted by these numbers, especially for an off-year election. I think there's not a lot of there's not a lot of deeper mysticism to the outcome than a good hard push in the African American community. Younger voters were slightly up, but it's their numbers weren't up enough to say there's a Parkland effect, as a lot of people are speculating. They're still inside the margin in terms of their turnout, the additional turnout this year. So it certainly has set up a race between. This is like Godzilla versus Mothra or something. There are two kaijus in their party, and they're going to be speaking. Both of these guys are on the edges of their party's ideological spectrum, speaking out to the further edges, not in to the great purple mass of Florida. So it's going to set up as a base turnout election. And both sides come with advantages and disadvantages.
So, Rick, it's Tom Hudson. Sir. This was, I think, as you say, on the ideological side, even how these campaigns were run was polar opposites. The grassroots campaign, mostly sure. of a Gillum versus the Fox News Channel campaign of a DeSantis, and of course leaned heavily on the president and the president's endorsement. So that's I want to turn the conversation over to the Republican side here.
Sure.
6 months ago, this was Adam Putnam's race. 4 months ago, it was Adam Putnam's race. What Trump touched in Florida won and is alive and well, Rick.
Well, look, the everything Trump touches dies rules has to do with general elections and final outcomes. And the ideological base of Donald Trump's
people. That's the tagline on your book. Okay.
the Donald Trump's people love Donald Trump. Okay. And this is one of the reasons I think that Ron DeSantis does not have if Ron DeSantis was an ordinary Republican, if this was Adam Putnam, this would be setting up to be a race where Adam Putnam would beat Andrew Gillum probably by 8 to 12 points in this race, okay? Because there are a lot of areas where Gillum is way out to the left of the people of the state of Florida. North of I-4, he's completely wrong on guns, and it's going to show in the general.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew Gillum, it set aside, Ron DeSantis has some trouble that his fortunes now rise or fall with Donald Trump's. You know, you don't make an ad reading to your kids from Trump books and playing with the wall with blocks with your babies and not be completely linked to Donald Trump pretty much forever. So if Donald Trump and there's a technical term we use in politics for this, craps the bed or goes insane on his tweets.
Oh,
or
that's almost it. Yes.
The campaign. then Ron DeSantis is going to pay a political price for that. If you think that Ron DeSantis is going to move back to the middle, I don't think he can. I think he's stuck because all Trump voters care about is Trump. And the minute you betray Trump in any way, you show any daylight of Trump, and they're going to go after you.
And neither of these candidates is in the middle. On any issue you care to name that is important to Florida voters, immigration, the environment, education, guns, and we'll talk about all of this through the hour. They could not be farther apart ideologically. And so pivoting to the center, I think, Diane, for both of these guys is going to be something, will be a neat hat trick if they can pull it off. Although you hear Andrew Gillum a lot saying on the interviews he's given that I don't think he plans to go too far to the center. I think his strategy seems to be to turn out his base and pull the Overton window of politics in Florida to the left. I think his campaign is banking on their ability to do that. Do you think that is a bridge too far for this state?
No, I don't. I think we just don't know what our politics are anymore. I mean, I think so. People like me who said, well, it'll be a Gwen Graham versus Adam Putnam race, two old Floridian types you know, who have always lived in Florida, whose families have always lived in Florida. And we were wrong. And I think that now everything is completely tribal. And as Rick was saying, DeSantis lives and dies by Trump. DeSantis has a lot of, well, I mean, he has a lot of issues more than he has positions. I'll give Gillum this. Gillum actually has ideas, things he wants to do in the state. I'm not sure they're quite as far left as some people think. I mean, paying teachers a decent wage doesn't seem to be the most radical thing I've ever heard. In fact, during the Democratic debates, he was slightly to the left of the other candidates in most ways, but not in all ways. So I think that I'm wary of saying, you know, God, he's this mega progressive kind of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez type. And, you know, Ron DeSantis is somehow, you know, the reincarnation of, oh, I don't know, name your favorite fascist. DeSantis is, in fact, I mean, he's a Freedom Caucus guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty sure what they're all about. They tell us day and night. And so he's going to have to. I mean, eventually he'll have to come up with a policy or two.
Well, how the two candidates are going to portray themselves and how they're going to portray each other as they look out to those wings, as you say. 305-995-1800, talking about the gubernatorial race and it's shaping up in Florida here, the general election between Democrat Andrew Gillum and Republican Ron DeSantis as they battle for the 26% of Florida voters who are non-party affiliated. Is that going to make the difference? Likely will, but how is that purple heart of Florida going to vote in this red and blue election? 305-995-1800 for the Florida Roundup. We'll begin in South Florida here. I've got a call. Marielle in Delray Beach, thanks for being patient. Go ahead. You're on the radio.
Thank you very much for taking my call. About Gillum and DeSantis, first of all, I'm a little bit astounded at the, in quotes, demonizing that DeSantis is doing about the average Democratic voter. We're not all, I don't quite understand what progressive is, but we're not all very far left. We're not socialists. And wanting to have affordable health care for our most vulnerable people, I don't think is socialistic. Wanting decent education for our children, I don't think it's socialistic. I think that it's humanistic. And I don't like being demonized because I don't go to the far right.
Who do you think's demonizing?
DeSantis and Trump.
And Rick Wilson, let's ask you about that. Here are the positions that Andrew Gillum is holding when it comes to this. He wants Medicare for all, and he favors expanding Medicaid in the state. Ron DeSantis was an opponent of the Affordable Care Act against Medicaid expansion for low-income voters in Florida. So as DeSantis tries to tag Gillum as a socialist, and Gillum has been saying over the last few days, I'm a Democrat. These are Democratic beliefs. Is this attempt to create a socialist narrative around Andrew Gillum, do you think that's going to gain traction in this general election or not?
I think by the end of this, you're going to see ads with Andrew Gillum wearing a black beret and wearing an AK-47. This is the line of the campaign. Is that he's a socialist? Now, I will tell you something about this whole argument about Medicare for all and all that stuff. It won't matter one way or the other. It won't help and it won't hurt. Ron DeSantis recognizes the dirty little secret of Trump demo voters is that a large percentage of Trump demo voters are on Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security, or disability. That's why Donald Trump will never touch entitlements. So Ron DeSantis isn't going to be able to go too hard on Andrew Gillum against that. On the other hand, there have been in the state since Obamacare, we haven't seen dramatic decreases in healthcare premiums. So you know, the ACA and Obamacare are still net unpopular in this state. So neither one of them is going to go as far on this as you think. This race is going to devolve down into non-issue issues. So we're going to end up fighting about who's a socialist and who's a Trumper. This is a referendum on Donald Trump. It's purely nationalized.
Go ahead, Diane.
Yes, on the ACA, it may remain unpopular in the state, and yet Florida is one of the heaviest users of the ACA.
Yeah, I'm not sure how.
So there's a difference between. I mean, I think we're just terminally confused people because we live in Florida, and just check your daily Florida Man story.
Don't you worry. Diane, there are plenty of people in this state who want to go to a Tea Party rally and scream, "Keep your filthy government hands off!
My Medicare! I know. I've been to some of those, and I'm just like. Oh, please stop being a stereotype.
You know, what's interesting about this, though, is these are federal issues, and this is a state election, right? I mean, whoever's going to sit in the governor's mansion isn't going to have a vote to decide the future of Medicare or immigration, for that matter. So,
they will have a say on redistricting, though, in 2020. How about that?
Are you looking for rationality here?
Well, what I'm looking for are policies that matter to Floridians that are in the state house, in the state senate, in the state capitol.
Right. Let me jump in on that on both sides here. Governor Gillum is not going to abolish ICE no matter what he does,
right.
No matter how many times he's talked.
That's right.
And Governor DeSantis is not going to build a 3,000 mile long, 500 foot high laser wall to keep out the Mexicans. Neither one of them is going to get their way. You got to recognize base turnout elections are going to end up. They're going to end up talking about things that are irrelevant and that are heat, not light. And both sides are going to play this game to the end. That's why a nationalized election like this in a purple state. Like our friend Steve Shale always says, in the last five presidential elections, the difference in votes between the two parties is about 20,000 total. So, none of these things that they're going to talk about is going to talk to anybody who's not a hard partisan. It's a base turnout only election, so expect lots of cray.
It's like you said, Diane, we live in Florida. Cray is our daily bread, right?
Indeed.
Yes.
Cray, cray.
Well, you know what? There are lots of folks waiting on hold as we talk about the biggest political story of the week, not just in Florida, but in America, the Florida governor's race. Have you been following this? As Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis face off in an epic clash for the governor's mansion in November, we are going to be talking about that whole flap over Congressman DeSantis's comment. Using the phrase monkey this up, we want your calls on that. Did you think that was racist or just a simple slip of the tongue or a colloquialism? We're going to talk some more about the candidate's position on the issues, and we want your calls on what matters the most to you in this race here on the Florida Roundup, whether it's guns, education, the environment, or something else. Call us up as we continue our conversation with Rick Wilson and Diane Roberts here on the Florida Roundup. We are getting calls from all over the state. It's 305-995-1800. We'll get to some more of your calls in just a few minutes on this Friday. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for listening this Friday from wherever you are in the Sunshine State. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami, talking about Florida politics here after the primary season into the general election. Here we go. Diane Roberts, author, professor, columnist at Flamingo Magazine, a contributor at NPR. She's with us from our member station in Tallahassee. And Rick Wilson, Republican strategist, author of the New York Times bestseller, Everything Trump Touches Dies. Rick is with us via Skype from 42,000 feet somewhere in the continental United States. Your phone calls at 305-995-1800. Let's go to Jacksonville. John has been patient on line three. Go ahead, John. You're on the radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think I'm one of the non-party affiliate folks that you guys have been discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can offer my perspective. I'm not really satisfied with either candidate. As I see this continuing, I'm not surprised that the tug of war at the national level is eroding into the state level. And so the option for me at this point seems to be that's most viable is to start supporting a third party, like a Libertarian Party or some of the other smaller, like the Green Party, to really just get out of this two-party system. because, frankly, I don't want a candidate that wants to further erode our ability to possess firearms any more than I want a candidate that pushes for trade tariffs. Both ideas are absolutely absurd, but it seems that you only get half of what you want, but the other half is just, well, I have to make that choice of who's the lesser of two evils.
So, John, where does that leave you this fall in your vote for governor?
That leaves me this fall, I think, to just writing my own name in as a candidate and electing myself, to be honest.
The write-in candidate, John in Jacksonville. Thanks for calling. 305-995-1800.
He'll get some votes.
Roundup. He'll get one, at least, right?
Well, what about that? You know, it's a, as you said, Rick Wilson, it's a base election, but there, this state is one-third Republican, one-third Democrat, one-third no party. Which way are those MPA votes going to cut, do you think, might not like either choice?
Sure, that's the great dynamic tension going on here and why the risk for DeSantis is very high. A lot of those people in that NPA category now are former Republicans. They, particularly in this state and elsewhere, educated women who were in the Republican Party are gone. They're out. They've disappeared. We've seen it in race after race after race in 2017 and 18 specials. Educated Republican women, they're out. They're done. And they don't like Donald Trump. They don't like his attitude, his affect, his crudity. They don't like his racism. They don't like anything about the guy. And they've proven to us that they will break against even moderate Republican candidates like Ed Gillespie in Virginia to vote against, as a symbolic vote against, Donald Trump. So Ron DeSantis is a Trump proxy, and that's pretty toxic with those few people right now, and with a lot of NPAs. A lot of NPAs also, you know, they've been functionally kind of Republican, but they're the soft voters that the GOP has been losing since Donald Trump was elected. So it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. Well, as we continue talking with you and Diane, let's take a few more calls here on the Florida Roundup. Douglas is in Plantation, Florida. Hey, Douglas, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on, you said middle of the road and how, you know, there's nothing middle of the road. We tried middle of the road with Obama for 8 years and his feckless leadership. What we need is someone like on the left who is going to, you know, actually put those policies into effect. Because he won the student vote because these kids are smart today and they know that America's style of capitalism has no future for them. And that's why they're looking at it and they said, yes, democratic socialism, that could be the answer. And that's why I say he is going to get the youth vote like you will not believe come November. Because he's actually going to stick to his principles. No middle of the road. We tried middle of the road. It doesn't work. We want something where it's going to go in there and really change things. And change is what is needed. And, you know, you've got an idea. You've got Trump's toady, or you've got something on the left. And I say that is going to make the difference in November.
Douglas, thanks for that. Diane Roberts, as you pointed out earlier in the hour, you kind of echoed those comments. Here's what Andrew Gillum wants to do that will appeal to young voters and very liberal voters. He wants to fully legalize medical marijuana for recreational use, tax it, put the revenue into education, raise corporate taxes, give teachers a big raise. He wants the starting pay for teachers to be $50,000 a year. He wants a transition to clean energy, a very different position on climate change than Ron DeSantis. So down the line, Gillum is a progressive. And so it's interesting to hear Douglas talk about calling Obama middle of the road. You know, to Republicans, Obama was a far left guy, right?
Well,
but if you're a progressive, Obama
Democrats
was not progressive enough.
Yeah, well, those are not radical positions, though. Maybe raising the corporate tax to some people is radical. I'm sure Associated Industries of Florida's, you know, getting out the smelling salts as we speak. But, sustainable energy in Florida, people in South Florida are getting really, really tired of having to bail out their living rooms because the oceans are rising. DeSantis hasn't said a lot about climate change, but he's apparently a signatory to an Americans for Prosperity document that, you know, kind of poo-poos the very idea of climate change, probably because they can't tell the difference between climate and weather. Some people did not pay attention in science class again. But I think the environment is going to be a big issue here. And I think there are voters who may be motivated by the idea of salt water in their town wells, their municipal wells, mm-hmm. which is already happening in South Florida. I think there are going to be a lot of voters who are tired of smelling that toxic algae.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, Rick Scott just sort of said, huh, that's bad. And, you know, Gillum, though he lives in the part of Florida where we're not really subject to that stuff. I mean, we don't have it in North Florida in any amount yet. But I tell you, a few dead manatee pictures, and he may be motivating a certain kind of voter. But I just don't, I don't know. I mean, if this is now the left, I just got back from London. There's a real left in Europe, you know. And Andrew, I'm trying to see Andrew Gillum as Che Guevara. I mean, yeah, I agree with Rick. He's going to be, you know, portrayed as the guy who's going to turn us into Venezuela.
Hmm.
But, you know, most of his positions seem like positions the Democratic Party has had for a long time.
Well, which of those positions resonating early on here from either Gillum or DeSantis, for that matter? Is it the guns situation? Is it the position on taxes, corporate taxes, economic incentives? 305-995-1800. We've got in Fort Lauderdale, Rob on line one. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm a senior citizen. Started the year Republican. I changed to Democrat. I figured I can vote for Glenn Graham. And then Gillum wins. I go, oh, no, what am I going to do now? But then DeSantis comes out with that monkey business. And I said, whoa, thank you, sir. You just made my mind up. Like the man on your show says, everything Trump touches dies. They're dead to me now.
Rob, thanks for the phone call from Fort Lauderdale. Appreciate that.
Well, let's listen to that comment you mentioned. Ron DeSantis, on the first day of the general election campaign, appeared on Fox News and talked about his opponent, Andrew Gillum, and ignited a firestorm over the racial, what critics called racial dog whistles in his remarks. Let's listen.
So we've got to work hard to make sure that we continue Florida going in a good direction. Let's build off the success we've had on Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state.
Okay, Rick Wilson, the DeSantis campaign has since said he meant nothing by that other than he was commenting on Gillum's vision for the state.
And he probably loves monkeys.
Immediately, he was engulfed in controversy over these remarks, particularly the phrase, monkey this up. And so already Gillum is raising money off of DeSantis's troubles over this remark.
Sure.
Will this stick
sure.
with him through the race, do you think?
Oh, I think you can expect to see ads in the African-American community right up until Election Day about this. Because in the most generous argument, in the most generous scenario, you have a guy who is allegedly a Harvard and Yale educated attorney who is not mindful enough to avoid the use of a word in regards to an African-American candidate that is not ever viewed in anything other than a disparaging and racially inflected way. That's the most generous scenario. The second problem is that when you have embraced Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is both embraced by and embraces the alt-right and overtly racial politics in this country, you've got to be super careful about not seeming to be a guy who wants to wear a pointy white hat on the weekends to a special kind of bonfire. This is something you don't get any daylight on this. And this is malpractice by his staff not prepping him. And I'm sorry, I'm actually, you know, false modesty being the worst kind, I'm actually a guy who's pretty good with the English language. And I am a collector of phrases and a guy who knows a lot of linguistic folklore and philology. And I'm sorry, the phrase monkey it up is not one, it's not even an obscure colloquialism. It's a bizarre colloquialism. And I'm sorry, you've got to be mindful of that kind of thing. If you're on the side of Donald Trump and his little buddies from Charlottesville, you need to be super careful how you speak about people who are African American.
Ron DeSantis made his comments Wednesday morning on Fox News Channel. It was about 8 hours later that Andrew Gillum happened to be on that same cable channel, and he was asked his response to his opponent's comment.
It's very clear that Mr. DeSantis is taking a page directly from the campaign manual of Donald Trump. But I think he's got another thing coming to him. If he thinks that in today's day and age, Florida voters are going to respond to that level of derision and division, they're sick of it.
Diane Roberts, he was asked if he thought the comment was racist, and he did not give a clear answer. He did not give a declarative answer to that question.
Well, he's not going to, is he? But the thing that
apparently
was
not
missing from that is that DeSantis also called him articulate, which is most African Americans hear that as code for, you know, pretty good for a black kid. It's condescending.
Yeah, we've got a call actually from Tracy in Boca Raton to just that point, Diane. I want to get Tracy's comments in real quick. Go ahead,
okay.
Tracy.
Yes, I actually fully agree with what you said. I wanted it to get more attention that DeSantis also said he thought Gillum was articulate, which to me is clearly a microaggression and fully belies that DeSantis is biased toward not believing black men to speak with intelligence.
You know, I'm getting tweets about this. Here's one from Shauna. She tweets the Florida Roundup. The phrase monkey it up is not a saying. If it wasn't a dog whistle by DeSantis, then it was an illuminating Freudian slip. Oh, and by the way, here's a tweet from Bill. I love listening to the Rick Wilson via in-flight Wi-Fi talking Florida politics. So only on the Florida Roundup will you engage in this scintillating way. So, okay. You know, the issue of race was going to come up one way or the other, given that if Gillum is the winner, he would be breaking a big barrier as the first African-American governor of Florida. And by the way, there is an African-American female candidate for governor up in Georgia, too. So just making mention of that. This is a barrier that many states still have not broken. So this was going to come up one way or another. But, you know, it just seems like the dynamics of this are especially fraught, given, as you have all been mentioning, how closely tied DeSantis is to Trump. That's hanging over all of this, and it's just not going to go away over the next 60 days. You know, Diane Roberts, you know, Tom and I were talking about this earlier, that the horse race aspect of this governor's race is really fascinating, but this stuff gets in the way, honestly, of talking about mm-hmm. issues that are very important to Floridians. How we pay for our schools, how immigration will be handled, how we will grow the economy, healthcare coverage, guns, all this stuff we need to get into as well, because when people make their choice, they need to know where the governor is going to take the state, you know?
Well, of course, immigration is a federal policy, so it's hard for a governor to completely rule on that. But something I'd like to know about, and it's a genuine question, I'll bet Rick Wilson knows about it, is I don't know yet, maybe we don't know yet, how Puerto Rican voters, people of Puerto Rican background, or possibly people that came to Florida, you know, after it was cleared that the United States government was going to ignore them in Puerto Rico after the storms, how did they break? Did they vote? I couldn't find anything on that. So, Rick, do you know?
The reason you can't find a lot is that the majority of them are registered as either non-party affiliated or independent voters.
That'd make sense.
Yep.
Now, behaviorally, what we know from previous iterations of Puerto Rican voters coming to Florida, they have tended to be much more Democratic. And what we know from some limited, there's not a huge baseline of it yet, some limited survey work on the folks that came here after storm, they are quite Democratic, and they hate Donald Trump with the fire of a million suns because he thinks they're not American citizens. He thinks that they're sea Mexicans or something. And so, you know, that's why Rick Scott has put in a tremendous amount of time in Puerto Rico and with the Puerto Rican community, because he knew he had to stop the bleeding on that front. He had to do everything he could to make sure that he didn't have this new pool of almost 400,000 voters floating around out there who thought, oh, that's Donald Trump's little minion, and he hates us and ignores us like the president did when 3,000 people were dying from this hurricane.
We're coming up on a break here, guys. I just want to bring in one more quick call this segment. Lisa in Palm Coast. Thanks for listening, Lisa, and holding on. Your thoughts on all this.
Hi. I'm one of those educated Republican women that one of your guests was discussing earlier. I'm 51. I have a law degree. I was a lifelong Republican. Occasionally, I would vote Democratic, but for the most part, I was a pretty staunch Republican, as was my mother, who's in her 70s. I agree with what your guest said. Both of us absolutely despise Trump, as do most of my contemporaries. If this is what the Republican Party is, we want nothing to do with it. And for the first time in my life, I find myself almost unconcerned with the issues. If you are a Trump supporter, I'm not voting for you.
Did you vote?
Will you vote for Gillum?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And did you vote in the primary this week, Lisa?
I did. Yes.
Could you share your vote with us?
Well, yes, I voted Democratic. I voted for Gillum. I will have, at this point, if you are a Trump minion, I won't vote for you. That's how strongly I feel about it. I mean, I'm not saying the issues don't matter, but I'm so disgusted with Trump and what he represents. You know, I'm old enough to have lived through the women's movement, and I am by no means a feminist. But I'm old enough to remember what it was like when we were treated differently, when blacks were treated very differently. And
so, Lisa, you changed your party registration from Republican to Democrat?
I did.
You did. And will you change it back before November?
No.
All right. Lisa, thanks for sharing your experiences and taking us into the ballot box with us, so to speak. 305-995-1800, talking a lot about state politics here. Andrew Gillum, the Democrat, and Ron DeSantis, the Republican. That's your governor's race here over the next couple of months. 305-995-1800. We'll continue that conversation statewide here on the Florida Roundup. Stick with us. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Great to have you here on this Friday. Thanks for listening and supporting public radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. As we continue our conversation with Diane Roberts, writer for Flamingo Magazine, author and commentator and professor, and via in-flight Wi-Fi somewhere in America, I'm not sure where, GOP strategist and author Rick Wilson of the new bestseller, Everything Trump Touches Dies. The Wi-Fi's holding, so this is really good for our show right now as we take a few
Headed into Charlotte, then to Tallahassee.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, you sound great, and lots of calls looking to connect with you both. Let's go to Ed in Highland Beach. Hi, Ed. You're on the Florida Roundup.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have heard that primary elections attract a disproportionate number of extreme voters of their parties, and therefore candidates who are more extreme stand a better chance than their moderate counterparts. If this is true, why are pundits so surprised at the hand that has been dealt to the November voters? So, I mean, is this a thing? Did it really happen? Or is there another dynamic at play?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ed. And Diane Roberts, he's right in that, in this primary, strong Democrats and strong Republicans definitely turned out. So I guess shame on all of us for not seeing Gillum coming a little bit more and not realizing that the party had moved more to his positions and got more excited about his candidacy.
Yes, and that is the wisdom about primaries, that, you know, people talk to their bases. They don't talk in the middle. But as I think we're seeing here, the base is now the party that we are very polarized. There aren't an awful lot of people who don't have an opinion one way or another. Now, Florida's turnout, as usual, though it was better than it sometimes is, was still rather pathetic. I mean, when you think, I don't know right. what it is with people. They don't know to get up and go vote or put one in the mail or whatever. It's weird, but there you go. Nevertheless, yeah, we've known this. We've known this. And it was clear, apparently, to, I don't know, a lot of voters that they wanted something, somebody who was very much different, who was not making a great virtue of compromise, who was not saying, I'm going to work with everybody.
Yeah. And that last point's interesting. Jason in Miami is going to pick up on that here. Jason, thanks for calling in. This idea of compromise and common ground, you're finding that harder to find.
I find it hard, and it's sad because, I mean, I understand there's certain issues that people care about, but it's so sad that the parties are so polarized, as was just said, and you can't find common ground. But at the same time, for me, some of these issues truly matter. I can never vote for the Democrat nominee because if you're a Democrat and the party, for instance, won't support pro-life legislation, and that's sad because, and I'm sure there's other cases where I could never vote for an issue that that just would keep every immigrant out of the country or Pearson and Prime coming in. And it's really sad because both those issues matter to me, but yeah. The parties are so different on both of those issues.
Do you consider yourself a purple voter, Jason?
I don't, because some issues I think are more important than others. And so for that reason, for instance, the pro-life vote, I have to give my vote to the pro-life.
Jason, thanks for calling us here on the Florida Roundup. Much appreciated.
Victoria is on the line in Lake Worth. Hey, Victoria, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, I'm listening to this use of the phrase socialist with respect to Gillum. I heard Chuck Todd ask him that question directly the day after the election and never said congratulations to him, which offended me. At any rate, what I hear is an incredible simplification of politics, this name-calling, fascist, socialist, fascist, socialist, seems incredibly ignorant, and Gillum wants to inject $1 billion into our education system, which, given where our politics are, I can think of nothing we need more in the state of Florida. And that's my number one reason for being for Gillum. I can't stand where we are at our education level and name-calling ignorance level in politics.
Mm.
Thanks, Victoria. You know, Rick Wilson, she's echoing what Diane said earlier, which is that Gillum's positions are not socialist policies. They are Democratic policies. I think
sure.
the question is, what can he shift the narrative, or what I like to call the Overton window for politics in Florida?
Yeah.
Can he bring it over to his side of the ledger?
Here's the problem for Andrew Gillum. You know, just the reality problem. First off, a number of his positions, they may not be socialist, but when we do the postmortem on this, if Andrew Gillum loses, remember this particular statistic. About 33% of the concealed carry permit.
Getting lost over the Appalachian Mountains yep. there in western North
he
Carolina.
He was talking about guns,
killed
though.
Andrew Gillum north of I-4. And gun, I've seen the state. Hang on one second. I've seen the state. I've been doing elections here for 30 years. You know how we eat the Democrats' lunch in swing seats all the time? Because male voters, including male Democrats, are not where the party position is on banning semi-automatic weapons and seizing weapons and high cap mag bans and all that other stuff. They don't want it. And you watch how that's going to become a centerpiece of Ron DeSantis' campaign, mm-hmm. because we know there's a group in Florida that comes out to vote every time on that issue. And you know what nobody votes on? Climate change, ever. They never vote on climate change. No one ever. You never pick it
well,
up in the
survey. Well, never before. Never before.
No, but you never pick it up in the exit polls. It's never in the surveys. It's in the most important problem stack. It's going to be somewhere around 15 or 16 as a general statistical rule in Florida. Jobs, economy, education, those are big things.
Yeah.
Climate change, a little thing. Gun control is a big thing for Republicans, and it will absolutely, you mark my words, north of I-4, except for African-American areas, north of I-4, and even in Democratic counties, Andrew Gillum will get his ass handed to him on gun control. It's going to happen.
Rick Wilson is a Republican strategist, the New York Times bestseller, Everything Trump Touches Dies. He's with us via Skype. Also with us is Diane Roberts, author, professor, and columnist at Flamingo Magazine, with us from Tallahassee. I'll remind you that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Continuing with your phone calls in Deep Blue Broward County, Pembroke Pines, JR on line 12. Go ahead, JR, you're on the radio.
Yes, I like that last comment, but I still think that Andrew can beat them if he can properly articulate a clear message when it comes to gun control. I'm talking about the fact that you can go in and buy a gun and sell it to somebody without any paperwork passing from one person to the other. To me, that's totally ridiculous. There are so many issues. The fact that you can go in to a gun show and just purchase a gun
sure.
does not make any sense, period. There are things that he can talk about that he can win the gun battle. And more reasons than one.
Good luck.
You know, there are more voters also that will come out and support sensible gun laws.
JR, let me put that to Rick Wilson. I mean, is there that position that Gillum could articulate that could grab that purple gun vote north of I-4?
He will not win a single vote that he does not already have by advocating gun control. Those votes, the people responsive to the gun control message are already, on our ideological scoring method in our polls, they're already 7, 8, or 9, or 10 Democrat. Okay, they are already there for him, and you look at these things we call the most important problem panel. We ask voters every cycle, what do you think is the most important problem facing Florida? And gun control is always somewhere around 3 to 4% on a big day. Like after Parkland, it'll go up to like maybe 10%. Right. Then it'll drop down to 2 or 3. You don't win anything new by it, but you absolutely motivate the Republican base because that is a core value voting issue for them, and they will come out.
So they'll turn out. So
well,
in the limited
converse
time, we have
is
Diane
also
Roberts,
true.
Your thoughts.
The converse is also true. There may be some Democratic voters who are extremely motivated. This is to say maybe the younger people, maybe I'm just being overly optimistic about young people getting involved, but I live in hope. I teach at a university. I have to be overly optimistic about young people. Just talking to them, this is all anecdotal, of course, that is a huge motivator for them. As is climate change. Now, none of that matters if they don't vote, and they statistically don't vote very much.
Right.
And so it remains to be seen. But this might be a year of confounding expectations. Another one of confounding
Another
expectations.
Another one, exactly.
Like 2016, where we all sat there and went, what? So, I don't know. Anything could happen. Florida.
Well, we've learned that, haven't we? My gosh. It's just been an extraordinary week to watch. And what is it, 66 days, something like that, till the November election? It's going to be, I think, one for the books, this race. Going to be something to see. And I so appreciate both of you being on the show today. We couldn't ask for better analysts than these two. Diane Roberts, follow her on Twitter. By the way, she has the best Twitter handle I've ever seen. It's @baddebutante. Were you really a bad debutante? Diane Roberts of Flamingo Magazine.
I refuse to be one, but one of my editors gave me that, and
I love it.
I should have thought about it a little harder than either of us did, but anyway, stuck now.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. The great Diane Roberts and the great Rick Wilson coming to us live via in-flight Wi-Fi. Thank you both
thank you so much
for joining us as well.
I'm so glad I'm not the seatmate to Rick Wilson on this program.
luckily, no one in the first class seat next to me.
Rick Wilson caught in the middle seat somewhere.
Yes, I hope he touches down safely, having contributed to this lively statewide discussion. We'll continue to follow the race now between Ron DeSantis and Andrew Gillum after a wild Florida primary. And that is our show for today. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Broadcasting in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Kevin Mershart is our producer.
Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming and our Technical Director this hour. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Mertz. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Have a great Labor Day weekend.